standard, was a prolonged opponent of Indian independence, and supported King Edward VIII during the abdication crisis. In 1940, as First Lord of the Admiralty, he championed the ill-fated Narvik expedition, which led to Hitler's invasion of Norway and Denmark. Winston Churchill the Adventurer was widely distrusted, and his appointment as Prime Minister was not a universally popular one by any means. John Colville, who was Assistant Private Secretary to both Chamberlain and Churchill, was extremely apprehensive about the situation.
There was a theory, which was quite untrue, that Churchill had been scheming and planning and plotting against Chamberlain. Now, whatever Churchill's faults, he certainly was never an intriguer. I think that possibly some of his more enthusiastic supporters may have tried to encourage the Daily Mirror, for instance, to run articles against the Prime Minister, but never Churchill himself, and never, I'm sure, with his approval. However, there had grown up at number 10 a feeling that he was irresponsible. We all knew about Gallipoli, about the support for the White Russians, Archangel and all that, about the return to the gold standard, which in those days was thought to be a disaster. And there was a general feeling that he was a man who was irresponsible and who would go in for wild schemes. This wasn't just a number 10. It was very much the feeling in the cabinet offices, people like Sir Edward Bridges and General Ismay. And one must remember that he was held responsible in Whitehall circles for the failure of the Norwegian expedition. So he arrived at number 10 with a wall of suspicion. The senior private secretary departed and went off with Chamberlain. He brought with him two of his secretaries from the Admiralty. The remarkable thing is that we all got on extraordinarily well together. There was never any friction. New people joined us in due course, John Martin, Leslie Rowan. So there we were, a gathering of four men and one woman, Miss Watson, who'd been there since the time of Bonner Law and Lloyd George, and we were the private office, plus a man called Commander Thompson, who was a sort of flag lieutenant that Churchill brought from the Admiralty, and whose only job was to arrange journeys abroad, who took no part in the in either political or administrative affairs. And his one or two outside advisors and friends, such as Lord Chauvel, Brendan Bracken, and Desmond Morton. We all got on extraordinarily well. There was no friction at all in the private office that I remember the whole time, well, the whole war, or the only periods I was there. It was a very, very happy ship indeed. The Prime Minister was incredibly inconsiderate as regards ours. I think, without being a selfish man, because he was very generous, he was enormously egocentric. And it never occurred to him that what suited him or what he wanted might be extremely inconvenient for other people, whether they were his colleagues in the cabinet or his staff. But despite all that, and despite some silly things that have been said by certain biographers, he was deeply loved by everybody at number 10, from the junior typist right up to the principal private secretary. He was held in the greatest affection. I'll give an example of that. Sir Horace Wilson, whom Churchill didn't approve of, although he kept him on as Secretary of the Treasury, but he ceased to have a room at 10 Downing Street, as he had in Chamberlain's time. His secretary, Miss Davis, was a very outspoken and marvellously honest and straightforward, but sometimes rather ill-tempered, Welsh lady, devoted to Horace Wilson and violently anti-Churchill. She became, in due course, one of Churchill's greatest admirers. But this was interesting because she started with a really very, very strong antipathy. And to get over that and become, as she did in the course of two or three years, a really devoted admirer was, I think, a tribute to Churchill's personality and the way he could win people over who had started by being hostile. The call of Auld Lang Syne was very strong with Churchill, and he did make several appalling appointments, such as Sir Roger.